Okay, welcome everybody to our sponsorship forum. I'm Suzanne E., and Susan is here on the line. Please join us in the serenity of prayer. God, grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
Grant me the serenity.
The things I can change.
Courage
to change the things I can.
And wisdom to see the difference.
I will. Not mine. Be done.
As I said, this session will be recorded. It'll go from a half an hour to 45 minutes. We have a couple of topics. Anybody can ask a question. Please be brief and to the point. If you are a sponsor, you have to have 30 days to share or expound or ask. Well, not to ask anything, but to expound or share on sponsorship. So Susan will be our timekeeper. At 2 minutes, she'll say 1 minute left, and then she'll say time. And like I said, please, we get a lot of interaction here. We want to keep it brief and to the point. Any questions? So, see, we came up with a couple of topics, and one of them I think we'll start with is how important it is not to copy and send off our literature by copying it. There are a lot of reasons why. We're going to get into that. So, Susan, do you want to start sharing on why it's not why we ought to buy literature and not just copy and send it?
Hi, yes, I'm Susan, compulsive eater. A lot of Susans in the fellowship. I identify myself as Susan from Oakland. I'm in California. At the core, it's being a service in supporting the fellowship. There is a lot of time and effort put into developing our literature and then printing it. And we do have copyrights on each of our CHEL literature, and you know, for the AA literature that is used, the AA too has copyrights on their literature. And it is just essential to support the health of our fellowship by purchasing the literature. I have myself thought and heard other people say, and then adding the shipping and handling costs. And I go to almost exclusively on the phone bridge, so I don't have face-to-face meetings for purchasing literature, but I go to the conference and I'll buy my literature there so I can avoid the shipping and handling costs there as just a thought. It's really just a brief answer. These are copyrighted pieces of literature. We need to support our fellowship, which operates on a shoestring, absolutely. And if you can keep that in mind and therefore not copy our literature, everything will be in alignment with what our higher power wants of us, is how I would put it. Thanks.
Thank you, Susan. And it's Suzanne, and I would just like to add that I know one time someone sent something that was copied, and there's several pages missing, and it's just easier and simpler to just buy the literature. Yes, there is shipping and handling, but that helps pay the expenses of the office. That's one way of supporting our intergroup. It's also supporting World Service, and they do need the money to run the operations. When I first came in, my sponsor did dictate a simple form of the food plan until I got my Forever Abstinent booklet. Yeah, just keep that in mind, everybody, that we do buy literature, we don't copy it. We're denying ourselves, it's part of some tradition in a way, we're not supporting our program by doing that. Would anyone like to share on that or have any questions?
This is Vicki V. I have a question. It is sort of about the literature and not about the literature.
Vicki, I heard Cheryl first. Can you hold on?
Oh, I'm sorry, I didn't hear.
Yeah, go ahead, Cheryl.
Can I go next after her?
Yes.
Thank you, Vicki, and thank you, Suzanne. This is Cheryl, compulsive eater. In regards to copying literature, I always felt that this program is so important in my life. I'm glad to spend that money on the literature and the postage and handling. I spent so much more on the junk food before that. So, for me to go and buy literature, it's so minimal, really, that I can't understand why I could not want to go and spend that $30 or $40. I spent hundreds of dollars on junk food. The other thing is that when I sponsor someone and I make sure that I give them that question a day on the first 30 days. I know there are some people that would want to copy those first 30 questions out of the sponsor guidelines book and prefer not to be busy with turning that one question over, waiting for the sponsee to write it down. Yeah, it takes a few minutes, but when I make a decision to sponsor someone, when I make that commitment and I'm responsible for that 15 minutes for that person, I will give them the question. I will wait for them to write it down and give me the answer the next day. So these things are important to me. Make sure that I have that willingness to spend a couple dollars to get my literature where I'm supposed to be getting it from, and make sure that my sponsee do the same. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Go ahead, Vicki V.
All righty. I apologize for coming in a little too early. I just didn't hear her. My question slash comment is when not me as the sponsor or the other person talking to me as my sponsee, when a third person talks about their sponsor, I find that extremely dicey. And sometimes I just don't know what to say when I hear some stuff. And I don't want to be in gossip. I want to be practicing the principles. And I always try to refer the person that's complaining about their sponsor back to the sponsorship guidelines. However, in certain situations, the person speaking to me about their sponsor is definitely out of bounds. And I just don't know how to, it's like, refer back to the guidelines, refer back to the guidelines. It doesn't say that. That's not in black and white. It says we're sponsored by the same guidelines. Well, that's a lot of wiggle room there. I actually had someone tell me recently that their sponsor would not accept their doctor's recommendations. And I says, that's not what's written. It says in the tools, whatever your physician or healthcare professional suggestions they make, and of course we put it in writing and make it official and all that stuff, will be accepted. That's what's written. But yet in practice, that ain't happening. So when someone tells me that stuff, I get really uncomfortable and I just keep going back to what's written. But my question is there someone I could refer them to that could, our leaders are but trusted servants, we do not govern, I got that. But is there someone I could say, well, maybe so-and-so could help you out, like a sponsorship mediator? But I also say lovingly that, we don't mesh well with everyone, to say thank you for your service and lovingly find someone else. We don't have to get an argument. We, like it says in the big book, we cease fighting everyone and everything. So, I don't know. Does anyone have any input on that one? And I'll mute.
Okay. Well, thank you, Vicki. That's a little off topic. We could probably get into that in the next part of it might fit in with the next topic. Would anyone else? And we'll address that at that part. Would someone like to ask a question about the literature?
Leanne, compulsive eater. And I have been told, and I try to work my program as it's written, and my program is a program of honesty. And if I'm copying literature that's not supposed to be copied, then I am a liar. And I'm a cheat to boot. So I've refrained from copying literature, and I try and do it the way it's written. It helps me in my program, and it helps them in theirs. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you, Leanne. Gina, you're next.
Hi, good morning. I just have a quick question, and it was just an afterthought. And I thought, I think that something that I did a few years back may be included in that copyright infringement, and I just wanted clarification. So I was sponsoring on the phone bridge, and was living up in a rural area a few years ago and no live meetings, working with a few new sponsees at the time, and they were also in a remote area. And then coming into the program, I was going through the beginning of the Forever Abstinent book, which I find like so helpful, especially for the newcomer, and just wondering, you know, what I did was I screenshotted that first part in the first 30 days just to help them get situated, and I sent it to them by email, and I'm thinking, oh, that's probably really included in until they were able to order and receive their Forever Abstinent book. I think it is kind of a big curve for some people coming into the program, and just wondering if anybody has a little feedback on how they work with sponsees when they're in a remote area. It takes a little time to get the Forever Abstinent book if they're not attending live meetings and sharing that information so that it's taken in accurately.
Thank you, Gina. Susan, would you like to go first?
Sure. It is a tricky situation, and I'm going back actually to another program that I worked in before CHOW, where there wasn't much of anything written, and it all was communicated from sponsor to sponsee. And and so my thoughts are, and this is something I do when I am rare, it's been rare that I've worked with someone who's brand new to CHOW, but I speak to what the basics are of how we work our food program. I spend a good chunk of time, about a half hour, talking to them about the basics of the program, answering questions, and giving them guidelines, and then recognize that they may only absorb some of it, and, you know, in those early days, recognize, oh, they missed this piece, and, you know, okay, let's set you straight on this, and that's my answer in this moment. Thank you.
It's Suzanne. Thank you, Susan. And yeah, like I said, when I came in, my sponsor dictated the basic food plan, the things I needed to know until I had a Forever Abstinent booklet. And what has helped me is I keep, right now I don't have any, I'm ashamed to say, but I usually keep a couple of Forever Abstinent booklets here at home. So I have had sponsees in that situation so that I can mail it right away. I don't have to wait for someone to send it or to go buy one and send it. I have it here. But just to go over the basics, when someone comes in and they're brand new, even seeing a Forever Abstinent booklet at once is probably a bit much for some people. So to dictate the most important parts is okay until they get their little Forever Abstinent booklet. And it's so important that they get that. It really, truly is. And the sponsor guidelines when they're ready for that as well. I hope we answered your question, Gina.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Anyone else have any other questions or comments on the literature?
This is Marjorie. I would like to share a little bit.
Okay, go ahead.
Thank you. I was enlightened, not really enlightened, but the part where she asked about screenshotting and sending it, I believe that would also count as a copy. It's a little bit different because you're not using machine and sending, but I guess with our new forms of technology, we have different ways of copying and sending, and so like everyone else before me said, just to let them know what they need and help correct, and patience and love is really a key, especially for those newcomers. And with that, I'll pass. Thank you.
Thank you. So, yeah, screenshots, whether it's a physical copy or a screenshot is copying. And I think Susan made a good point. The communication, the talking to one-on-one is really, that's the key. Does anyone else have any questions or comments on the literature?
This is Dorothy J.
Go ahead, Dorothy.
This is just my opinion that this is gossip that we talk about our sponsor and we make a meeting out of it and then try to justify by adding the program to it. That's gossip, and we shouldn't do that. We should take it to the inner group if we think that it should be done different and not make a meeting out of it. This is gossip. That's one of the seven tools. We don't gossip or try to make a way where it could have been done different. Our meetings are structured that we talk about the program and our recovery and not gossip or talk about the program and sponsorship and how it could be done different. God bless all of you. Have a wonderful day and stay abstinent. I am. Thank you.
Thank you, Dorothy. Does anyone else have any questions or comments about literature? Since no one has any comments or questions about that, the other topic that we discussed was letting go of a sponsor or letting go of a sponsee. It's a hard thing to do and many wrong ways of doing it, perhaps. Susan, would you like to share first?
You're always so generous in giving me the first option, but how about if you go first, Suzanne? Thanks.
Okay. yes. I haven't been let go by a sponsor. My first sponsor here in program left program, and that was very emotional for both of us, actually. And she did give me the option to continue to call her for 2 weeks while I looked for someone, which was very generous of her. She had not lost her absence. It's just it was a personal decision that she needed to do something different. That was good, but I have had to let go of one sponsee, which was very difficult. And what I learned along the many years in between those two events is, you know, sometimes we are people, and emotions can or cannot happen, and they do, though. I need to be calm, and I need to come from a place of love and not make it. I have to be very clear, and I have to come from a place of love and just keep it simple. I said to the person, this is not working for you, it's not working for me, and I think we've become too close. And for both of our sakes, but mostly yours, I think it'd be best if you found someone with a new pair of glasses. That's how I put it. Because I know, I have seen friends who have had to go through this. And I did it live. I didn't leave a message. I didn't leave a text message. I didn't leave a voicemail message. I did it live. And we had a conversation. I know some of us, it's hard for us to face it and we have to do it. But really, that is the better way to do it. That way, there's probably going to be less misunderstandings as well, because a lot of things, email or voicemail or even texting, there could be a lot of things interpreted wrongly. And so that's how I did it. I came to a point where, was it working for both of us? And it really wasn't working for her. And I thought, it's time for me to step back. And I did it in a very loving way. And yeah, that's all I need to share at this moment. And now, Susan, your turn.
Thanks, Suzanne. What comes to mind to start with is, you know, my core belief that the sponsoring relationship is an opportunity for us to work on relationships. I know for me, and I think this is likely true for many of us, that I have not been skillful. Not been given the skills to have healthy relationships prior to working a recovery program. And the sponsoring relationship is a particularly intimate relationship. And it's a tricky one because there's a tendency for us to go into a more parent-child kind of dynamic. Not always, but I'm always aware of that possibility. And, you know, and that can set up all kinds of
misunderstandings, barriers, and it's just not what the relationship is intended to be. It's one of support. And I've gotten a little off topic. Really what I wanted to say was the idea of communication and improving our communication skills is, for me, one of the amazing gifts of the sponsoring relationship. So when a sponsoring relationship is no longer fulfilling the needs of the sponsee or the sponsor, practicing healthy communications in that discussion of stopping the sponsoring level of the relationship is an amazing opportunity for us. You know, one of the things that I speak of if this were to happen is, you know, to transition from a sponsoring relationship to one of a fellow relationship where, you know, outreach calls are available to the two of us. And you know, back to this awareness that a parental child underlying assumption or place that we go to with the sponsoring relationship can get triggered when that relationship is ended or in the process of ending. So, you know, gentleness, lovingness, open-heartedness, truly, to respect what we have done together and to respect what this transition can represent, does represent, is an important piece of it. I am not perfect in doing this, but I have been learning along the way about proper communication, effective communication, loving communication, and looking for the lessons in particular in the difficult sorts of situations. Thank you.
Thank you, Susan. Does anybody have any questions or comments?
I have a brief. Go ahead.
Go ahead, Cheryl.
Thank you so much. Two comments in regards letting go or being let go by sponsee. There was one point in my sponsoring where three sponsees left within a month, and I took it very personally. I thought that I was doing something wrong, and then my sponsor made me realize that they were not ready. It had nothing to do. I'd been sponsoring the same way for years, and that I should not take it personally. So that was an important lesson for me. The other thing, I had someone that I was sponsoring, and we were doing very well for a couple months, and then I realized that I was getting too emotionally involved with her. I would hang up with her shares. I would hang up the phone, and my day would be like a mess because it awoke different things in my past history, and I was reliving that with her share. So I was too emotionally involved, and it took too much of a toll on me, and I had to let it go, but it was not easy. So I remember going to a meeting we had in the library. I took her aside, and I started to tell her that, but before I even did that, I made sure that I had someone lined up for her. I had a sponsee that was available lined up for her. And I started to tell her, of course, there was a tantrum and there was crying, and none of us love change. I hate change. So I was understanding, and it took quite a while. We had a nice conversation. She ended up taking that sponsor and was so grateful because they're doing beautifully together. So, but it wasn't easy. And that happens rarely that I have to let someone go. But I have to make sure, and I was told again, that my abstinence comes first, my emotional stability comes first, and my recovery is the most important thing in my life today. And if anything's going to threaten that, I have to be very careful of that. So I need to know where it is that I need to let go. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. And who wanted to share next or ask her question?
Hi, it's Gina. I was just going to make a brief comment. I'm so glad we're talking about this, and I just remember in being sponsored in the program for the first time, there was a kind of a dynamic that I couldn't quite put my finger on going on between my sponsor and I that I felt, but I was new to the program, and I was really just trying to get it right and be a good girl, and you know, and then the sponsor actually broke her abstinence, and I felt devastated. And I know, like, that for me it was just really, really important to hear that message of getting a new sponsor and not waiting, because I think I was kind of emotionally, And I was quickly encouraged to not stay in that place too long through other people that were sponsoring, and that was really helpful. I think I had somewhat started to make my sponsor put her on a pedestal. And I remember that now in sponsoring new people too, and I remind them that I'm, you know, sponsorship is very important, and, you know, the relationship that I have with my sponsor has really helped me learn trust in this very fundamental way that I then take out into the world and through my other relationships, and that's just so nurtured through this program. But in sponsoring other people, one of the things that's helped me when I feel a little caught in a dynamic with a sponsee is I remind the sponsee that I am just one of the tools, you know, one of the many tools in the program, so that everything isn't just bound up in between us if there is an issue going on. And I feel like that's kind of helped to neutralize things and encourage the sponsee to then, you know, use the other tools and reach out to others too. And in when a relationship hasn't worked, I also really try
one minute.
Not, thank you. I don't think I've ever just dropped anybody. I will say, you know, do you think this is working? I'm not sure. And I see sometimes the gray area where you can just kind of coast along for a while and things will pass. But when they're not, I say, well, I will continue to sponsor you until you find someone. And I feel like that's been something that's made me feel good, is a responsibility to kind of help them feel that foundation that they're trying to build for themselves until they find someone who can sponsor them that is a better fit. Thanks.
Thank you, Gina. Would someone else like to share or comment?
Susan, New York.
Thank you, Susan. Go ahead.
Thanks. Thanks, everybody, for your service. I'm a compulsive eater, and I get so much from these forums, and I can see that I have improved. Recovery has helped me to become a better sponsor and a better sponsee, but I still have things that I hold on to. Maybe it's not exactly the idea of a parent-child relationship, although that might be like way down at the heart of it, but it is codependency of some kind, and also maybe the teacher and the student idea, which isn't really the model that I want anymore as a sponsor and as a sponsee. I could see from experience that people leave the program, people get sick, people pass away. Aside from, you know, the regular run-of-the-mill, I mean, I used to drop sponsees left and right, you know, and then I started to see this is not, you know, there must be a better way. Other people maybe never or hardly ever drop sponsees. I've changed some of my ideas and my practices over the years being in CHOW. But it is something for me to be prepared for, and I think it's good for other people to prepare for the event of someone leaving the program maybe or being dropped or changing. I could see that it still affects people very badly, and a person may even lose their abstinence.
1 minute.
Thank you. Thanks, Susan. But I don't think it's necessarily has to happen if I'm more prepared for it and other people don't see that sponsor as the only sponsor ever. I mean, it doesn't mean that I need to change sponsors like I change my blouse or my shirt, but we all follow the rules or the guidelines, and then we need to have a good fit personality-wise and schedule-wise and all the other things that go into having a good fit. But sponsors can be, we are not, you know, like the only one. You know, there are others, and there's something about that dynamic that I'm still learning about, you know, that it's the higher power and it's the spirituality that is the end-all, you know, and the final word, not the sponsor. Anyway, thank you. I pass.
Thank you, Susan. Any other shares or comments or questions about letting go a sponsor or a sponsee?
Oh, this is Cheryl. Can I just double dip?
Go ahead.
Thank you. Regarding the relationship between sponsor and sponsee, when it turns to where you become too friendly, and I mean, you know, I love to be loving, caring, and close to my sponsees, but when it becomes too much of a, you know, friendly friendship, I run into problems. There was one case in particular where we became such good friends. We shared things other than program, just in our daily talk. And I got complacent with, well, she got complacent with doing her questions and doing program as required. And it became kind of difficult to stress, you know, the importance and the tools and the meetings. And I would say it once in a while, you know, maybe once a week, but it made the whole relationship very uncomfortable. It became more of a friendly, you know, conversation rather than a sponsor-sponsee conversation. Didn't know how to deal with it for quite a while, because as much as I would stress the meetings and this and that, it didn't happen because there wasn't that fear of she's going to drop me because we were friends. It came to a head because she realized, too, that the program wasn't working for her. She was slipping all over the place. And so it was suggested by me that, you know, it wasn't working for her and probably wasn't working for me. And I want her to succeed. I want her to have recovery and have a program, have abstinence. And I was suggesting what was best for her. And it worked. You know, she changed to someone else. We're still good friends, but she's working her program to the best of her ability. So it took a while for me to learn that, to understand that, but sometimes that's what I needed to, and I need to do. It hasn't happened, but that was the one case where it was important to remember. This is a program about helping one another, helping each other grow, but being there as a sponsor means guiding, giving the guidance, and that's the most important. Thanks for letting me share that.
Thank you, Cheryl. Would someone else like to ask a question or share?
Yes, I'd like to share. This is Suzanne J. Good morning, everybody, and thank you, Suzanne. This is a wonderful forum, and I appreciate all the comments and people sharing how courageous. I had a sponsor that was a counselor about two or three years ago, and the next thing I knew, I realized she was counseling me. I was getting aggressive, and I was getting, all of a sudden I'm starting getting angry. What I realized that, and for my program, and I'm speaking only for myself, is that whenever I come up against something that has to change, it's not them, but it's me. And instead of, you know, instead of facing my stuff, I used to stuff my face. But this time, you know, because I'm working on the steps, God puts people on my path that I have to face my character defects. And finally, one evening, I had the courage to pick up the phone, a 10,000-pound phone, and confront the issue and say that I was angry and she had no right to counsel me. I was looking for a sponsor. And she was very aggressive, and about 3 days later, you know, I said, I'm going to have to change sponsors. I just will not put up with this, you know, kind of counseling. And I said, I need a, you know, a sponsor that sponsors me in the program the way the program is written. And 3 days later, she called and made an amends, and she said, this is a problem of mine, and it's you've helped me face a character defect in myself that I didn't want to face. Good God, we never know who we're going to be talking to.
1 minute.
Thank you. We never know who we're going to be talking to or how my character defects are going to be resolved by interacting with other people in the program. And it's my responsibility as a sponsee to speak up or as a sponsor, be a sponsor. And so I have to assume the responsibility of who I am and what I do in this program. Thank you for allowing me to share.
Thank you, Suzanne. We have time for another share or question.
This is Joanne, compulsive eater.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay. I appreciate the workshop and the question about, you know, letting go of sponsor or letting go of sponsee. And I've been in both situations on See How. And still currently, although I've been in See How in and out of abstinence since 2006, I haven't seen a happy medium yet. It's still a very brutal process to me. You know, whether I get dropped, I've cried my eyeballs out, and everything, because it is so painful to get dropped, especially when if you feel you wasn't perfect. You know, I've been threatened to be dropped. Well, I missed one day of making phone calls, and I got a threat, and I told my sponsor, you don't have to threaten me. I'll just leave right now. You know, tell me she's not going to sponsor me if I'm not going to work the tools. And it's just been real nasty. I haven't seen a really nice way. I haven't experienced it. Also, it's hard for me to drop people. You know, they slip. I keep them. They slip. I keep them. I know. And then about the third time, maybe, you know, I might start suggesting. So I'm just glad to be honored to be a part of this discussion. I know I don't like the cold, calculated way of having a sponsor that's, you know, dispassionate. They might not be dispassionate and all that. I do prefer a sponsor where, you know, where we are a little bit on friendlier terms, because that cold, dispassionate way, it doesn't work for me either. So I'm just glad here we're discussing it. It's opening me up, because by it opening me up, it's two ways. I still have to go. Okay, thank you. A sponsee that's not doing what she needs to know, go. I'm dealing with that. I'm also still dealing with a sponsor who is slipping and sliding off and on, and I'm holding on and won't let go. So it's still going to be some things I'm going to have to do. I'm going to have to probably let go of both and, again, find another new sponsor and all that. So thanks. Just really so glad to be here to discuss this very important topic. Thanks.
Thank you. And just in closing, just for me, what's worked for me is never do it in anger. If you're angry, take that time out, take that pause, and come from a better place, whether you're the sponsor or the sponsee. And if you're new and you're like, well, that doesn't work for me, please let the person know. Have that dignity to let the person know I'm moving on. And it'll help you, and it'll help the sponsor, or whatever the situation is. But always take that pause and let's not try to do things out of anger. That's what's worked for me. Come from a better place. I'd like to thank everybody who was here. Thank you, Susan. Thank you, everybody. Our next sponsorship forum will be November 5th, Sunday, at 11:05 a.m. Eastern Time, 8:05 a.m. Pacific Time. And if anybody has any questions they'd like to ask and they can't be here live, I'll leave my number. It's 818-208-9171, 818-208-9171. Let's close with a serenity prayer, everybody. Star 6 to unmute. Once again, thank you for a wonderful sponsorship forum. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things that I can change. Courage, change. And wisdom to know the difference.
Thy will be done. Amen.